In that first reading we hear today, it's all about the community of believers, right? How they had everything in common. And today is Divine Mercy Sunday. And the reason why that reading is read is because to live in community, to be a community, mercy, forgiveness, it's integral. You cannot be a community without mercy, without forgiveness. I cannot live in community with Father Troy without mercy or forgiveness. He has mercy on me when I try to chant these kinds of things like we're trying to do today, right? And I have mercy on him when he lets me in the house when I'm locked out. So, mercy is such an important part of being the body of Christ. Forgiving one another, have mercy, having mercy on one another, the way our Lord has demonstrated mercy towards us, towards his disciples. And that's what today's gospel is all about too. Today, as I said, we celebrate Divine Mercy Sunday, and this gospel reading proclaimed today, it's so rich with mercy, it's so full of mercy. In the appearance of our Lord to St. Thomas, I always have mixed feelings. We call him Doubting Thomas, but I'm not sure Thomas was a doubter necessarily. I think Thomas was just perhaps a reluctant lover. Reluctant to love as he had before. He had been through so much, and now they were asking him to go through all of that again. And he just couldn't love like that again. He couldn't see himself jumping back into that boat. I could see him talking to himself, thinking to himself, "Don't tell me he's back. I don't know what I would do if it's true, or what I would do if it isn't true." No, I think that perhaps Thomas was just hurt, deeply in the gut, hurt. So when the others told him that they had seen the Lord, Thomas was just reluctant to get on board again. And our Lord knew that. Our Lord knew that Thomas wanted to see what the others had seen, wanted to see the nail-marked hand, the pierced side. And that's what our Lord was doing, right? Our Lord, in these appearances to his disciples after his resurrection, our Lord was appearing to them and bringing all of them back into communion with himself. And he wanted Thomas on board. And so our Lord came to him. He came and gave Thomas what he wanted, what he needed to believe. He gave him a nail-marked hand to touch, a pierced side to examine. And there's no record that Thomas did either one of those things, that he put his hands in either mark, but you know, artists depict that, there's no record that that's actually what happened. Rather, perhaps Thomas's exclamation was simply what happened when Thomas saw the Lord and the Lord spoke to him. He fell to his knees and he simply said, "My Lord and my God." And our Lord said, "Blessed are those who have seen, have not seen. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." You see, that's what mercy is. Mercy is the authority that comes from God to allow us to see what others can't see. Mercy is the gift of God, totally undeserved, that comes to us so that we can see ourselves rightly and so that we can see others rightly. That's what mercy does. In the case of Thomas, mercy allowed him to see himself as someone loved by the Savior, someone forgiven and cared for. Perhaps in our case, mercy comes to us, and if we're willing to first use it for ourselves, allowing God to be merciful to us, well, when we find those things, when we remember those things in our past of which we're not very proud, we let them go. Not so much that they didn't happen, but that in the mind and the forgiveness of God's mercy, they simply don't matter anymore. So mercy allows us to see ourselves the way that God sees us. Mercy allows us to see things in others too, to see where people may have been broken and hurt, and to understand when people's reactions to us may be from those hurtful and broken places as well. Mercy, and having mercy, means to be willing to see with the eyes of God. That's what mercy does. It gives us God's sight. It gives us God's ability to see clearly that we are beloved, that we are cared for, and that the cross is not just for a few, but it's for everyone. Mercy is when we accept the fact that we have to see ourselves as the treasured loves of a gracious God. And that we see ourselves in such a way that we begin to see others with that same sight. If we have mercy on ourselves, if we allow ourselves today, if we allow ourselves to begin brand new, no matter where we have been or what we have done, no matter our spiritual apathy or lethargy, whether we are caught between belief and non-belief, if we allow ourselves to move towards belief, confident that the mercy of God will help us to see it more clearly as we move forward, then we will become a very different people. You see, we have to know God's mercy. We have to know his mercy, or we can't know this gospel. We can't live it out. In the beginning of the gospel today, notice what Jesus didn't say. The very first words out of his mouth are not words of retribution. He doesn't come to the disciples and say, "Thanks a lot, guys. I could have used you a couple of days ago. Why did you abandon me? Where were you? Aren't you all ashamed of yourselves?" No, our Lord doesn't say any of those things. Instead, what he says, what he offers, is shalom. He offers peace and well-being. And this kind of peace is not just some serene, peaceful feeling. This kind of peace that he's talking about is the kind of peace that means that things have come back into balance. The relationship is back. It's right again, the way it's supposed to be. Having given them that peace, the peace that only Christ can give, he says, "Now, as the Father has sent me, so I send you." We gloss over this part of today's gospel, I think. Often we focus only on Thomas, on his doubts, when this is the point. This is the point that Thomas himself had to grasp. This is why the Lord appeared to him and to the disciples. This is the point that we're being sent forth the way that Jesus is sent forth. That the point of Easter is that now we, you and I, we are sent forth as the risen one is. As the Father sent me, so I send you. And that means that I now go forth and do what he did, like him, preach the forgiveness of sins. And I have to believe in forgiveness of sins for myself and believe in it for everyone that I meet. I have to believe that everyone is brought up, caught up into this new time of Easter Jubilee, this life that's been extended to us, that we've been invited into through Christ our Lord, through his resurrection, through his defeat of death. Giving ourselves over to his mercy means that we must, as the Lord himself says, be willing to forgive. And we now have the power to forgive sins. Don't let anyone in the face of this gospel ever say, "I can't forgive this person. I can't forgive that person." Because the truth is, no, you can't. But Jesus and his mercy in you can. He's given us the authority. He's given us the power. And he continues to give it to us. Remember, he said this once before, earlier, a few chapters before this one. He told us in John chapter 15 that as the Father loves me, so I love you. As the Father sent me, so I send you. In that love, and the Holy Spirit will enable you to love the way that I love. So let's not say that I can't forgive, that I can't love. Of course we can't. That's why we need a Savior. But our Savior has enabled us to do so. And do you know what happens? Do you know what happens when, like Thomas, we see our frailties and our brokenness, our lackluster performance in the ways of grace? When we see those things, but we see them with mercy and love, seeing as God sees, do you know what happens when we listen and hear that we now have the power to forgive sins? A funny thing happens. We extend his mercy just as we received it from him, a mercy that overlooks the faults and brokenness in ourselves, the faults and brokenness of others. We begin to forgive just as we have been forgiven. We begin to unpack our bags of all the pains and hurts that we remember. We stop taking offense at every word that someone says because they happen to disagree with us, as though it were a personal attack. We realize we've been given the ability to dump all of the stuff we so often insist on carrying around with us. And so this is where the last part of today's gospel comes into play. It says that Jesus did many more things that aren't recorded in this book, But these things are recorded so that you may, by these words, know that he is the Son of God and have life in his name. So why aren't those things that Jesus did, those many more things, why aren't they recorded? Well, because the book is still being written, because he is still alive. He's risen, right? He's still alive and doing those things. He's doing them every time one of us forgives. He's doing them every time we look at ourselves and accept ourselves as the child, the son, the daughter of God that we are. The book doesn't include them yet because we're still doing them. Christ is doing them through us. We're still writing this book. It's not finished. We are that fifth gospel, as it were. We are the gospel still going on, the Spirit still writing in your life and in my life the real, honest work of Jesus Christ. Our Lord sends us with the very same Spirit that prompted his ministry, the very same Spirit that raised him from the dead. Every single person in this room, every single person, not just the holy, but the sinful too, we're being sent like him to make the world holy and to be made holy in the process, perfected by our Lord. Now, you may not be sure about that. You may not quite know. You may say, well, what things, Father? I'm not sure I see him working through me or in me. Well, here's a clue. When you love your spouse, when you cherish your children, when you guard and protect those entrusted to you, when you sacrifice, when you give of yourself, when you give your life to and for someone else, it's him. Anytime you're merciful, it's him. Anytime you forgive, really forgive, it's him. Anytime you choose joy over anger, and anytime you choose him over anything else, it's him. The merciful one, extending his love and his forgiveness, his mercy through you. The risen one, doing his work through you. As the Father sent him, so now we are sent. So may we go forth and do as he does. And may he be praised, now and forever.